talk. It's 503-733-2970.
Rick, about you and Sarah.
I have to go.
Yeah, thanks for making it awkward in the studio.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Whatever.
503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. By the way, this just in. Concision is a word. In your face, bitches. Concision is a word. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, don't... I got to answer your therapist question, too. Only because I don't want it to be out there like a thing. Shrink. I can answer the therapist question and the sexual sparring question all at once. You and Tim are both eating bananas right now.
Tim's eating a banana, too?
Yes, both of you at this very moment. That's not even funny. Is it one of those days? Is it one of those days where everything is fantastically amusing? Let's welcome Lisa. Wait, hold on. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program. No, that didn't work. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you. From the hill, with a mind full of razor-sharp, glittering beads of fun, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard and stuff. Hello.
Hi.
You know, having gotten about halfway into that sentence, I realized that there's really no way that a bead could be razor sharp. It's kind of one or
the
other.
Yeah, that was kind of confusing.
A razor sharp bead is, in fact, just a diamond. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Did you know that, you know, they have kite competitions, or they used to in Pakistan, but they stopped them because apparently people were actually putting razor sharp glass, perhaps razor sharp glass beads, on their kite string so that it would cut other people's kite string.
Is that true? I mean, that sounds like an urban legend.
No, I think it's true. I think they've ended the kite band because people were actually getting, and some people were using, I think, some wire for their kites that would do the same thing. And I think when those kites, sometimes they would fall and actually would hurt people.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Slash people's throats.
That's fantastic. And by fantastic, of course, I mean tragic.
Right, of course, naturally.
We should have a kite flying contest. Wait.
Oh, I'd be all over
and
that. I own maybe 30 kites.
What?
I know it's bizarre. Actually, my boyfriend is the kite lover. We have many. But they're all like a dollar kite. You know, they've all got holes in them. You know, they're all like patched up.
You own 30 kites?
Maybe 20 or 30.
How many kites does one really need? What purpose?
You know, we have some of the biggest kites in the world on the Oregon coast here.
Is that true?
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I think that's great. We got to get out there.
It's like one of those, like a box kite. And then there's just the triangle kind, and then there's the boxy kind. And what else
there's
is there?
There's the circle kind.
We're just into old school plastic. In fact, Jason is such a super geek. He knows the names and the ones that he really wanted for, I think at one point, the super spy kite. Or
are you telling me that your boyfriend names his kites?
No, they have names. They're just like matchbox cars. Each kite, there's different kite designs that have names.
He does have, like, his own place where he lives, right? I mean, he does, and he has a car and stuff and a job.
Right, no, he does. We live together.
All right, I'm just saying.
Ooh.
I'm just clarifying.
So, fascinatingly, though, on our kite journey, I wanted to surprise him. When it is before I really embraced it, when I thought it was really kind of weird that he liked kites, as you do now, I know.
Yeah.
And so I took him. I found out there was this special kite seller in the area, and I took him there without calling the place. It turned out to be this almost abandoned house that was a hoard, like someone was an old woman hoarding kites. We looked in the windows and it was packed, a huge house, packed from top to bottom with kites just sticking out of closets and up in the windows, and it was freakish.
A kite hoarder.
The kite hoarder, the kite man, that's what we called him. We ran away.
Well, all right then. Yeah. Well, okay. And moving on then. Are you serious though about that this was in Iraq?
Oh, Pakistan, I think.
Oh, Pakistan. Okay, yes. All right. Scotty says you have many, many things that you wanted to share with me. Is it just the kite thing?
This is Scotty wants me. Scotty wants chaos. Scotty says you guys like chaos, and he called me. You know, poor Scotty. I'm always such a jerk when I talk to him. He's like, hey, you were busy, you know, because we had to move the live shot. And I said, he's like, what were you busy like? And I was like, well, just everything. You know, I was a jerk, you know. And he's like, well, great, save it for the show.
No, he's kind of used to it. We forgot that he worked for us a minute ago. We were talking about the number of people who work for the radio station. And Tim actually said, well, there's only 3 people on this program. And then there was this long, awkward silence. And then after which Tim said, God bless him, Tim just said, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting Scotty J exists. And then he just kind of went back to his news pile. So it's okay. It's, you know, the thing is, if we don't abuse him repeatedly without mercy, he'll never become desensitized to it. And that's kind of the important thing.
Okay, all right. I guess that makes me feel better. But yeah, no, it's just a busy day up here. We've got a lot of people introducing bills on Iraq, trying to stick it to the president. A lot of people opposed to the president's plan. There's one bill that is supporting the president's plan, flying all over the place. Everyone's got their own bill. And then we've also got the House about to pass some cuts in student loan rates. And then out of the blue, the president, you know, the NSA wiretap program, that the whole if you're talking to someone overseas
right.
in America, they can listen in. Well, out of the blue, the Department of Justice announces that they are now ending the presidential order that allowed that program to begin and instead putting the program under a court's jurisdiction, which is what all of the opponents had wanted all this time along. And the White House, Tony Snow, had a lot of questions about it and said, well, they've changed it so that now we're happy with how things are, with the rules that are in place, but I can't give you details because it's super secret. So anyway, the NSA wiretap program now will be under a court's jurisdiction to decide when and under what circumstances the White House can listen in.
Let me just tell you why that doesn't make me feel any better. That doesn't make me feel any better because whenever the White House, any administration, any party, any president, whenever they voluntarily give up something that they want and everybody opposed, when they give it up, it just means that they've already created a backup contingency plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like when you threaten to send your kid to bed without dinner and he doesn't care because he's got a month's worth of burritos hidden underneath the bed. It doesn't even matter. It just means that he's ordered some sort of super x-ray specs or something, and George Bush is just sitting there behind the Oval Office watching me right now. So that's it.
If it makes you feel any better, there is an argument, and I think this certainly was a factor, that Democrats were going to actually pass laws, or they were going to have a strong debate. They were certainly, the House was probably going to pass laws.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be close. That would make it so the president would have to do this. But
that's mad. That's not, let's be honest, that's never going to happen. Speaking of things that are never going to happen, it says here, and apparently CNN presumes that I'm a lot more informed than I really am. It says, we've already heard about non-binding resolution today. I've heard nothing about non-binding resolution. I don't know what it is. I mean, I know what it is in general. I don't know what non-binding resolution... Isn't that a waste of time? Non-binding resolutions are the silent letters of the congressional workday. What is the point?
Yeah, I think the point is that this is the best they can do right now. They're trying to go step by step. I think they just don't have the support in the Senate to go much farther. That's the reality. That's the politics involved here. But I think what they're trying to do is box the president in and put so much pressure on him that somehow he has to back down. But I don't see why he would.
He's got the support of like 3% of the country. I mean, there's no more boxing that can be. He couldn't be more boxed in if he was in a box. There is no, there's no pressure that can be put upon him now that isn't already on him. Am I wrong?
I don't see how. I mean, unless there was an actual, Sopranos character in his office.
Really? I mean, unless there are actual mobs of people with pitchforks outside the White House chanting, give us Barabbas, there's nothing.
You know what? Someone might try that. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that it's all about momentum, and it's all about this game of chess. And this is the latest move, trying to sort of fence the president in, trying to push him in terms of opinion and lack of support, into a box. Now, it's not to say that it's going to work, but it's also to say there's not a lot of realistic other options that Democrats have that they can, one, get through, especially the Senate, and two, that they know constitutionally will pass muster. They're in a tough spot. So I think many of them who believe this whole symbolic vote thing is a bunch of hooey like you, I think a lot of them might go along because they're hoping this will be one step in that direction. And then if you can get Republicans on the record, as they will, in opposing the president, well, then maybe you can get those Republicans later on to do more if the president ignores them.
That's what we ought to have. A national day. This is, I'm always thinking of the big grand gesture. Because one of my idols is Abbie Hoffman, and he was the king of the big grand theatrical political gesture.
Indeed.
There ought to be a national day of shunning. That's what it is. That's what the Democrats need to come up with. Something like that, like Shunfest 2007. And a day where they just, everybody, they just turn their backs every time the president comes into the room. If he comes on television, Dick Cheney comes into the congressional, he comes into the Congress for any reason. Everybody just turns their back and they just don't even look at him. There is some sort of national day of shunning where we all just ignore George W.
But
Bush.
But he still is our commander. I mean, he's not just George Bush. He still symbolizes the country as well. That's tricky.
Yeah, maybe your country. I'm not trying to be some weird.
Oh, I think a lot of people, were saying that, right, as you were, too.
And I'm not saying that in a partisan sense. Let's be very clear about that. I'm not saying that in any sorts of, because he's a Republican or whatever, because I'm no more a Democrat than I am a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't represent Republicans. He represents no one. There's no one except for Tony Snow who's simply paid to say these things.
More people voted for him than for John Kerry, though.
Yeah, but that was then. And this is now, sister. His own base, as Eddie Izzard would say, his base is collapsing like a flan in a cupboard. There's just nothing. And I don't mean to sound cynical, and I don't mean to sound like I have disrespect for the office or whatever. That's not the thing. This whole business of you have to respect George W. Bush only because he's the president. I don't have to respect anybody.
That's true.
Really, and I don't have to respect anybody. And I, you know, if you can't pronounce three-syllable words after given years of practice on this, you can't pronounce the simplest of words and you actively try to alienate about 98% of the country, I think at that point you have squandered your right to be respected by me. So I'm not saying they got to disobey his orders. I'm not saying that we got to subvert the Constitution. I'm not saying we got to go over, that we have to engage in anything sort of drastic. I'm just saying there ought to be a shunning day. And here's why I say that. Because don't they have that thing in Britain where once a month or something, the prime minister goes and everybody just heckles him for an hour and a half? What is that day they have in Britain?
I know it's written in Great Britain's Constitution.
What is it that day where once a month the Prime Minister goes there and everybody just sort of shriek profanities at him for like an hour and then he goes home?
the opposition party actually does get up and sort of boo hiss.
It's fantastic.
Right.
And that, you know what? That keeps a guy in his place. That kind of lets a guy that'll humble you a little bit, and it ought to be televised.
I think there's some that might say George Bush or other leaders might say, oh yeah, well watch this.
All I'm just saying is this. I say this not because I am unpatriotic, not because I do not love my country. Everybody knows that I love my country to an almost corny, cheesy, and absurd degree. I am patriotic to the extent that it actually irritates a lot of my really liberal friends. I have friends of mine who, and they think I don't know this, by the way, but I have friends of mine who behind my back sort of cynically and derisively refer to me as Captain America because they think that I'm, because I am so overt and so loud and so outspoken about my love of America. But you know what? It is because I love this country that I think that when you become president, anybody, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, John McCain, whoever, when you become president, there ought to be like one day every, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks where you are on television and everybody just sort of heckles you for half an hour and everybody gets to make a bunch of your mama jokes. Just to sort of keep you down here with the rest of us, because in a very real way, that is what the office of the presidency is about, that the president does represent us. He's not above us. He's not superior to us. We are not subservient nor beholden to him. He is one of us. And I know I'm getting off on a thing here, so I'm going to stop.
Then you get into your theories of leadership. Does he represent what the people want, or do the people choose him because they think he will make the best decision?
I'm getting off of the whole thing. I know you're busy, so I talked about this a little bit with Bob Costantini yesterday.
Hey, how was Noodles?
Bob was great. I forget what it was, but he introduced himself, I swear to Christ, he introduced himself as B to the OB.
Oh, yes!
I don't have it here, but we had a little firecracker sound we created just for him.
Oh, yes.
That's great. Barack Obama, I was to understand yesterday that he said he was running for president, and now I really have to admire this guy. He's already manipulating, exploiting, and drawing every little second of media coverage that he can here, because now apparently it's pushed back again, and he's not going to announce until next month.
Oh, okay, this is the trick. He still hasn't officially said, I'm running for president. This is a whole gimmicky thing they all do. He's opened up a presidential exploratory committee. Uh-huh. But when you do that, really the gig is up. Everybody knows you're interested. So that's what people were reporting, that he's running for president because he's opening up this committee. But he hasn't made his official announcement yet, and he didn't do it yesterday. He just opened up this exploratory committee that by law you have to open in order to start your fundraising.
Is the advantage to the person, let's say in this case, Barack Obama versus Hillary Clinton, is there an advantage to the person who announces first or the advantage to the person who waits?
You know, it depends on who you are. I think they're playing this to their strengths. Barack Obama's got to announce earlier because, frankly, Hillary Clinton's the front runner for the Democrats right now. You know, whether you like her or hate her, she's the one with the most money. She's the one out front. But so I think Barack Obama needs the time. He needs as much press as he can get, and he's going to get a ton of it. But Hillary Clinton can play it cool, and likewise, she on the other hand, who's accused of being overly ambitious.
God forbid.
Yeah, she can't look that way. She needs to keep it cool, and that's why we haven't heard much from her, and she's been very coy.
And that's some nonsense double standard, by the way. The idea that Hillary Clinton is somehow a character flaw, that she's overly ambitious. Mm-hmm. God forbid she reach big. In America, how dare she?
People, right.
I can sense that I'm becoming really ranty, so I'm going to cut myself short here.
Great, go with it. Come on. No. You would just unleash me if I was you, I was in this place.
No, my final question is this. Is based on the general conventional wisdom and the general consensus about Hillary, I mean, she is a pragmatist, it seems like, at heart. She's equal parts pragmatist and idealist, I guess.
She's a smart woman.
And so she would clearly never take being number two to Obama, but she's got to know at some point that as much as she's taking shots and jabs at that guy right now, that she'd partner with him in a heartbeat if it came to that.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, across the room, those two are wink, wink, nudge, nudging at each other. Just like pretty much all of these candidates do, unless there's bad blood from the past, right now, everybody, almost everybody, is in it for one or two. Hillary Clinton may be an exception. She may not take number two. And I think John McCain probably would also not accept vice president. Everybody else is nudging. And, okay, meanwhile, I want to make sure I get the facts right on this. It was actually one spring festival, but it's a huge one in Pakistan that was canceled. 7 kite-related deaths.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't mean to laugh.
The story is entitled Killer Kites.
Okay.
So there you go.
Wait, no, there's something. There's a better pun there. Killer Kites. Kitastrophe. Bam! There you go.
Yes.
There you go. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go out on and up there. All right, Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. Thank you, sister.
All right.
All right, there you go. Kitastrophe, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Excellent. It's a great segment Lisa and I just had there. You know, she keeps saying boyfriend, not fiance.
Yeah.
Zing. What about frogs? I like frogs. It's 503-733-2970. Shunning day. It's a great idea, don't you think? Just a day, and again, and we do it every administration, whether he's a Republican or a Democrat, whoever the president is. Every, like, 3-6 months, there's a shunning day where he just gets walks down the hallway and everybody just turns their back. Just a little bit of silent treatment, you know what I mean? Or just like once a year when he gets on television, the president ought to be roasted once a year by the Friars Club. That's fantastic. That's a genius idea. That's there you go. The president, as condition of becoming president of the United States, you got to be roasted once a year. You got to go, and you sit there, and Alan King comes out, and he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, batting it back." And then you sit there, and then Jason Alexander comes out and makes fun of your penis. There you go. That's it. Roasted once a year, president. Bam. All right. And so forth. Have I taken this as far as I can take it?
I think so.
I'm going to play the Weekend Geek. How about this? I'm going to play one from this year. Whoa! Stand back. Let's see. Where is the Weekend Geek from this year? All right. Oh, can I play this first? I'm just going to play this first. We're not breaking yet. I'm going to play this. Just...
A radio station begs listeners to come down and see a guy in a tomato costume. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. DJs on Z103 FM in Idaho Falls, Idaho, are at this hour begging listeners to come to a local Sam's Club parking lot to see a guy dressed as a large tomato. Radio host Bill Elson says fans will be amazed at the sight of a fully grown man in a vegetable outfit and should hurry right down.
He'll talk to you. Have you seen a talking tomato before? You've got to get down there.
Elson added that at 7 p.m., the man in the tomato suit will depart and listeners will have to wait a full year to see him again. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
All right, that seemed appropriate. All right, we're going to play this And then we'll take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents The Week in Geek.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, no, it's Aaron Duran and The Week in Geek.
Mosh. Moon is too big.
Stanley Kubrick is becoming the Tupac of the movie world. With two completed dramatic scripts in the works, horror fans can now also enjoy the fun that is the undead Stanley. A long-lost treatment was recently discovered in a locked steamer trunk, showing that Kubrick loved axe-murdering psychopaths long before he teamed up with Stephen King and Jack Nicholson. You can expect the newly titled Lunatic at Large to hit the theaters in late 2008. It can't be any more frightening than AI.
Life is good!
This weekend, January 19th to 21st in Portland, Oregon, at everyone's favorite gem, the Hollywood Theater, animators Mike Judge and Don Hertzfeldt present the third annual animation show. The largest animation tour in the U.S., the award-winning lineup features everything from groundbreaking CG shorts to classic 2D, a.k.a. hand-drawn flicks, and stop-motion films. Showtimes are 7 at 9:30 p.m. on Friday and Saturdays, and 3, 5, and 8:30 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets are $10 at the door. Be sure to check out HollywoodTheater.org for more information.
My anus is bleeding.
I'm Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com reminding you that if you walk into a game store with two hot chicks, you will be a god among dorks. This has been
The Week in Geek.
We never gave away those other, not Chelsea Clinton, Chelsea Handler. Those Chelsea Handler tickets. And I got all these Pringles things. Hold on.
Ooh, that's the sound of freshness.
So the questions are on the chips?
The questions are printed on the chips. It's part of today's new space age technology.
All right. What flavor are they?
That's the thing, is it's only in the regular, like, ass flavor.
Oh, I like the original.
The original. Okay, well, you can have a chip every time you answer the question correctly.
You're such a bastard.
Now, see, the problem is...
So you're going through and picking out...
Now, listen, what are you doing? Listen, you harlot, here's what I'm saying.
All I see is you manhandling all the chips and laying them out in front of you.
Here's why Rick Emerson is doing this. There's these new Pringles, and they're called Pringles Prince. Now, the problem is it's all movie trivia. It's some sort of cross-promotion with that Seen It movie trivia game. Now, they've taken the sissy way out, though, on some of these questions, and they're not actual trivia questions. It's just movie titles with some letters removed, and you have to guess by looking at it. Like, L-I-G space, it doesn't matter. It's letters removed, and then it's Flight of the Phoenix. Like, so few of these are actual trivia questions. See, I have...
Stop touching all of them.
I have yet to...
So it's misleading.
I have yet to find one that's an
actual
trivia question.
I'm
going to
take out my own chip, though.
Hold on. Now, see, every one of these so far is just a movie title, from that one, with, all right, here we go. What 1994 flick features Albert Einstein as a matchmaker?
IQ.
Oh, here you go.
I don't want the one you touch.
That was after he licked his fingers.
I know. I don't want any of the ones you touch.
Okay, well, but you have to give it back if it's like an actual trivia question.
It isn't.
Okay, there you go.
Leave them in the kitchen. Somebody will leave them.
Fantastic. Let's see. How about another one here? No. No. Best radio bit ever. A stolen cheerleading routine drives what 2000 film?
Bring it on.
Art for art. Where's my man? It's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
There's a car on fire.
Ow. Oh, ow, that was loud. I'm sorry.
There's a car on fire.
A sexy fire. Wait, hold on. There's a car on fire? Okay.
Well, there seems to be a vehicle that's burst into flames. Eastbound on the Banfield at 201st. All the lanes are closed, and people are just sitting there frustrated with nothing more to do. Has nothing to do with the snow. I want to thank Scotty J for that tip. He's a valued employee.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was trying to think of a joke, a pun. There's nobody injured, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, except for the car. The car is on fire.
The car is on fire.
The car is on fire.
All right, that's all the joke I need right there. All right, here's what are these people calling about? Let's see. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I'm just in awe of your mad contesting skills. I'm still laughing about that Garth Brooks question from earlier.
Why don't you shut it, friend?
Hey, man, I'm sure CBS Radio appreciates that the only person that dies in your contest is you.
For your own wah-wah. Thank you.
All right, man. Later.
Thank you, sir. That's all right, funny.
Bye.
All right, there you go. That's pretty funny. Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, here's something to make you feel really weird. That pizzeria manager.
I've had so many awkward moments that started with that phrase. Look, you'll need something to bite on.
This pizzeria manager suspected
infecting
these children.
This is that children? I thought it was just the one kid.
Two. Well, there were two. And
well,
now
you need
he's
a matched,
suspected in the third.
You need a matched set, I guess.
Wait, what did this guy do?
This is the guy who allegedly kidnapped the kids.
This is the guy who, we know he did it. This is the guy, in my opinion. This is the
I can't say that. I work for CBS News. Technically, you're in the programming department. You may.
This is the it's my opinion.
Yes, it is.
This is the guy who we know kidnapped that kid, and then the kid that was then on the message board going, "Mom and Dad, when? How long are you going to keep looking?" The kid that he kept in his basement or whatever for 5 years, and the kid occasionally went on message boards that had been set up by his parents to look for him and was leaving messages. We talked about this at length yesterday. You were right there in that seat. You were here. Just the blankest
of
looks.
Well, continuing with the story.
Well, anyway.
The deputies say that Michael Devlin, the pizza guy, is now the most viable lead in the investigation into the 1991 disappearance of Charles Arlen Henderson. Both Sean, the kid he just allegedly kidnapped in return, and Charles both vanished at the age of 11 while riding their bikes on a rural road about an hour's drive from St. Louis. Both boys are slight, weigh about 100 pounds, and close cropped hair. And if you look at a photo of Arlen and place it next to Sean's picture, they look exactly alike.
It's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm just closing these sprinkles.
Portland's own filmmaker Gus Van Sant pleading not guilty today to a charge of drunk driving and reckless driving. He's ordered to an alcohol diversion hearing on February 9th, whatever that might be.
Was his trip home filled with was his trip home long and meandering and filled with pointless diversions and stops? Didn't really have any consistency to it.
It might have.
All right. No, back on the Predator thing for a second. So you didn't hear us talking about it? It was the creepiest story. So this guy, so what is it? So he had kidnapped, they think he had two, now it's three?
Yeah.
Okay, so he had,
But many years ago.
So not all at once.
No.
All right. So the one that they nabbed him for, he had
two.
The two they had nabbed him, now yes. I'm confused. But anyway, he had kids in his basement.
They kidnapped. Did they survive?
Not in his basement. They're in his apartment.
Well, but you know, they're like in a figurative basement. He had kids in his house.
Yes.
He had kidnapped them at like age 11. The kids are now like 15. So he has them had them more or less.
No. One's 11. One is like not. One is 15. One is 11.
He's had them in his house for many years.
Not the second one. This story is all wrong. The further we go, the more off the story becomes.
The more we discuss it, the more news becomes in quotes. Anyway, the point is that one of the kids he had kidnapped for several years, at one point, this is how creepy it is, at one point the kid was like logging onto a message board that his own parents had set up somewhere looking for him, like findbobby.com. And the kid was like leaving messages anonymously on the message board for his, you know, on his own find me message board saying like, how long are you going to keep looking for your son, emoticon? It was like the creepiest thing ever. It makes no sense. So the kid was totally brainwashed. I swear to God you were here because that's when I was telling you how easy it is to brainwash somebody. I could do it. We should do it with Scotty. Let's make Scotty into our slave. Oh, wait. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, this is kind of silly.
Wait.
A 9-year-old boy with a history of stealing cars and running away sneaked onto a plane for Texas, getting caught after flubbing an airport connection. Samaj Booker apparently found a Southwest Airlines boarding card and made it through airport security Tuesday.
Tax dollars at work.
Hopping two separate flights but landing in San Antonio. The only thing I have to offer on that is we're looking into it, says the Southwest spokeswoman. The fourth grader remained Wednesday in juvie custody in San Antonio. He was trying to get to his grandfather in Dallas, where he used to live. Apparently, the boy wasn't happy when his family moved outside of Tacoma from Texas. His odyssey began Sunday when he stole a car that was left running outside a neighbor's house, only to be spotted by police. on the I-5. Now, this kid is 9 years old. Police pursued Samaj at speeds of up to 90 miles an hour until he took an exit and the engine blew, after which the car went over a curb and coasted into a tree. He refused to come out of the car, so officers broke a window to unlock the door, immediately recognized him as a frequent runaway and car thief.
This kid ought to be put down right now.
He's 9 years old.
He's going to be nothing but drunk. He's going to be a super predator, I can already tell.
So, last month, he also crashed his stolen car before being caught by police in Tacoma, so this is a good place for him anyway. And more recently, he was caught in Seattle with a stolen car that ran out of gas, according to his mother, Sakina.
Okay, that's a kid that needs to be padlocked.
He learned to drive playing video games on a PlayStation.
Sure he did. Because
she's hoping to move her four sons back to Dallas, but Samaj grew tired of waiting in Tacoma.
Okay.
He was incredibly motivated to go to Texas. He doesn't want to live in Tacoma. Her son dislikes the neighbor where the family lives and is afraid of a sex offender who lives nearby. He does not like him at all, said the mother.
That's just bizarre.
You bet.
That'll be a net thrown out of that whole city, you know? And you know it's true.
9 years old.
That whole city ought to just be covered in amber. All right, 9 years old. Yeah, that guy, you're going to see him in about 20 years wearing a mask, a cape, and, like, riding a death ray somewhere with some sort of doomsday device on a satellite orbiting the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, good on you, kid. Whatever. All right, it's Tim Riley.
So you're probably wondering about the weather.
I'm wondering about these sound bites that we never got to.
Oh, we're going to get to them right after the weather. Okay. We're going to go back to number three.
Fantastic.
First,
all right, excellent.
Everybody's wondering when it's going to get warmer out. And it is 33 degrees right now. It will hit 34, which isn't warm enough to melt all the snow. Then tonight, a weak warm front will move through the area, bringing us snow flurries around 10 o'clock. They shouldn't bring us any more than an inch, but it may bring us a little bit more in the suburbs, as it always does. Temperatures tonight will fall to 29, which means it's going to be freezing cold when you try to get to work tomorrow. So, 3 days out of work, maybe?
Fantastic.
Perhaps?
Excellent. Well, no.
Knock on wood.
That's happy news for me because it means idiots stay home and I get to work in like 9 minutes.
It's going to warm up on Friday and it's going to be 40 degrees.
Fantastic.
And then we return to old-fashioned Oregon rain.
All right. That's it. Good times.
Now back to the sound bites. The sixth season of American Idol is now underway and the bad singers are out in force. Minneapolis, Minnesota was the first city to show off its good and, well, not so good hopefuls. Here's a sample of those who aren't heading for the bright lights of Hollywood.
Twist my nose with your fingers, trip me as I carry liquids.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Far
across the distance. Find me.
Time keeps dragging on.
At your age and not your suicide.
Life has new meaning to me.
If I were the king of a fool's
That's from the water contest. That deserves a car.
You're right. That really does. Do I have something to... Wait, hold on. That really deserves some sort of positive reinforcement from the audience.
That's a good one.
Oh, is that Kenny Rogers?
Thanks. Love your show.
Thanks. Love your show. Zing. All right. I'll cue that up again later in case we need more affirmation from the audience that we are indeed amusing. Or there's something on another station.
People have to know when it's funny.
We should totally have a laugh track. All right. Okay, so let's see.
That would be awful.
Folks just don't know any better, so they must be proud of it. What is funny?
People must be led. Ring through the nose tile like so much cattle to where the humor is. All right. Okay, so I'll cue this. Apparently, there was something funny at one point on another radio station. And that moment, luckily for us, has been captured for all eternity. So I'll play it again later. The next time we are amusing.
So you're probably wondering, what does Hillary Clinton think about Barack Obama's chances, considering he might take a shot at the Oval Office?
How?
She might herself. The question is asked on today's NBC Today program.
I'm going to let all of those...
Whoa, okay, first of all, does that...
Did you hear that weird croaking thing?
Yeah, did that sound with her unhinging her jaw to speak?
Her toppers might have been a little loose.
It's like with her opening her reptilian mouth as she's eating a porcupine.
I'm going to...
Okay. I can't get past it.
Me either. I'm so happy you heard it, too.
Okay, what?
She needs a little 3-in-1 oil.
I don't understand. Please call and tell me you hear this noise.
I'm going to let...
Okay. let's just pretend. Let's just gonna plunge straight on in here.
I'm going to let all of those decisions be sorted out by voters. You know, this is at the beginning of a long process, and we don't even know who all is going to be in it and what their positions are going to be.
Seriously, is that like when she had to, like, is her smile muscles or something, which haven't been used since 1994? She just had to, wait, hold on, be polite. All right. It's totally like a Ren and Stimpy moment. It's like an incidental sound effect to a small body movement. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Hillary, when will you make an announcement about running for president in 2008?
Well, I'll certainly come back and talk to you about that when a decision is made.
Okay.
Back to A now for more fun and merriment.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. A, fun, merriment. Wait just a second. Walsh history. Okay.
All righty.
You're not ready. I have the sound, and now you're not ready.
Well, she just returned from her recent trip to the Middle East, looking after constituents' interests there. And she says it shows the U.S. strategy in Iraq isn't working. She tells reporters in Washington that the White House priorities are upside down.
The president's team is pursuing a failed strategy in Iraq as it edges closer to collapse. And Afghanistan needs more of our concerted effort and attention.
Okay. You know, here's the weird thing about Hillary Clinton to me, and this is a thing that only I feel, so therefore it's vastly interesting to everybody else, and I'm going to spend a disproportionate amount of time radio time discussing it here. Hillary Clinton reminds me for all the world of my seventh grade teacher. And I don't really talk about that a lot because I realize that that's a thing that there's only like 16 other people in the world who even know that. My seventh grade teacher, I swear to God, she and Hillary Clinton were separated at birth. Just a mean, nasty, awful, shrewish nun of a woman. Just a terrible, terrible, awful person. One of the worst people who's ever lived, I think, my seventh grade teacher.
She'll live to be 100.
Exactly. No, she'll live to be 100, and I know that she's traumatizing other students right now. I don't even want to talk about how creepy she was. I'm just going to say, and I think, and how do I put this? It is my opinion, based on retrospectively, looking back now at some of the things my seventh grade teacher did and said, it is my belief that she had a thing for small boys, by the way. Not me, of course. I was always passed over. No one, teachers and clergy people never paid
you
attention.
You and me, too. Yeah. I wasn't anybody's type.
I just, I tried.
My family keeps asking me about you. Nothing happened. Sorry. You kept sending me to classes with nuns.
Why aren't you more popular? My family was so hoping for a big cash settlement, and I was just never pretty
enough
to bring it home.
Barely a one on a scale of 10.
I didn't want to talk about it. It's creepy. It's just creepy. But she had a weird thing for very young boys, I think. And so when I look at Hillary, I have to sort of like there's always about a half a second lag when I see Hillary Clinton on television where I have to go ching and like switch my brain out of that mode because I swear to God, I look and the first thing I think of is that seventh grade teacher. So, but she's weird. I mean, the thing about Hillary Clinton is, oh, Scotty's typing all kinds of amusing comments about it. Well, we'll get more of those later. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, time now for our News for Women segment. Little copy chat here. Ladies, it's time to lighten the load when it comes to your handbag. Health experts are warning you about the dangers of heavy pocketbooks. Dr. Yvonne Braver, a Cleveland Clinic general internist.
Oh, I didn't know this. And, you know how this would be better? Can we go back and do this again? But don't say handbags, just say your heavy bags.
Ladies, it's time to lighten the load when it comes to your heavy bags.
See, it works. It's funny.
Health experts are...
It's like when we had that guy earlier in Southeast who was hit with snowballs and then he stabbed those kids. Mm-hmm. And Scotty J was typing in the screen, "If you hit me with your balls, I'll stab you." Seriously, it's like, boys, keep those balls off of me or I'll stab you. I'm sorry. So what about the ladies, Tim?
Their handbags are too heavy.
No,
oh, her,
no,
her,
no,
not so. Their handballs are too heavy.
Yes, your handballs are too heavy.
Something must be done to lighten your load. I don't know what to do to rescue this bit, really. I guess I'll just let it run its course until it runs out of steam. I really don't know where to take it from here.
Oh, wait. I think somebody on Couple finds that funny.
It's the muddy cart laugh.
You made my day.
That's what we do. Okay, so we've got to lighten the load with handballs.
Yes. Many women concentrate on how a handball looks, not how much is inside. Number two.
And this is from where?
The Cleveland Clinic.
Okay.
You carry something over one shoulder, you're throwing off your posture when you walk. You're leaning to one side, you're spreading your shoulder, your neck, your back, and it causes pain.
Okay.
Ladies, don't slouch. Make sure your posture is correct, or switch to a backpack.
Speak only when spoken to.
Either carry a backpack across both shoulders, or maybe carry something evenly in both hands. Use two bags or something like that, where you can work more evenly. Make sure you're holding your shoulders up, using a straight posture, keep your head up, not hunching forward and causing more strain.
So carry two handbags.
Be careful when
keep your head up.
Those heavy bags.
Don't carry two heavy bags.
If you try to hold two heavy bags at once, it's just going to end.
It'll be in bad posture. It contributes to some other problems somewhere down the line.
One heavy bag at a time, ladies.
We're on your side. We're part of the spirit of the new Northwest.
These snow days have to end.
I think we're going to have another one tomorrow. By popular demand, it's going to be our third one in a row.
I don't understand. There really is something very wrong with us the last couple of days. Oh, my God.
I know the air hasn't been circulating here for about 2 weeks in this room.
Okay. Let's see. This one says it sounds like Hillary's taking a bite out of an apple. No, because she's speaking at the same time. Let's see. How about this? Hillary has revealed herself to be one of the crab people. Let's find out. Hold on. I can see that. All right. Okay. All right, I just got to hold on. I just got to get myself together for a second. Take a second. Just have to collect myself. They gave us a great sounder to end the show. As well. Right here. If you were a wacky FM morning show, what's the soundbite you would use to end your program? In fact, here's the thing. I'm going to take the
Applause.
Label off. Hold on. I'm going to take the label off right here so you can't see it. Taking the label off.
Tim, what do you think?
Gurgling underwater.
That's the program's final day.
Or if it was an intercom station.
No, if you were a kooky morning show, what is the soundbite from popular culture that you would use to end your program in the morning?
Applause?
No. Any guess? Any other guess? All right.
Something from like a late night talk show?
No. No. Wrong again. Okay, well, we'll find out later. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A burly security guard on the Jerry Springer Show will bring some tough love to his own daytime talk show in the fall.
Is it Steve?
Steve Wilco.
Yeah.
He is a former Marine and cop. He'll offer advice and dole out his own version of justice.
I love that guy.
On a yet entitled TV show produced by NBC Universal.
It ought to be called, what is his last name again?
Wilco's.
It ought to be called, you know, you watched Springer. When you were in college, did you watch Springer? Because that's who watches Springer. It's college students and poor white trash. And that's it. And me. But that's, everybody loves him. It ought to just be called Steve Beats the Ass of Some Guy Who Really Has It Coming. I would completely watch that show. Steve, the big bald-headed bastard from Jerry Springer, beats the face in of some senseless dick that has it coming. That show would get like an 80 share. All right, I'm sorry, continue.
Well, the show is to be taped at the same Chicago studio where Springer is shot and has been sold to such stations as WPIX New York, KTLA Los Angeles, and WGN Chicago. Wilkos will leave Springer after 14 seasons to take on his new job. I really like helping people, said he.
What do you mean leave Springer? The Springer show's not still up. They're not still taping new Jerry Springer episodes, are they?
I don't know. I haven't watched it in years.
What do you mean they're still... Is that true? 14, first of all, let's take these in order. A, 14 years, that's impressive and horrifying.
Yeah.
B, I thought that they quit taping that because wasn't he going to run? He wasn't running for mayor again, but didn't he? Well, he had that abysmal. God, did you ever hear that Jerry Springer radio show?
No.
God, it was the worst thing, and I love Jerry Springer. And the thing about Jerry Springer is, this show is just wearing me out today. This humor is making me tired. All of this hilarity is just sapping my will to live.
We can team you up with Scotty if you want.
Who? Oh, the thing about the Springer shows, you see, Springer did an interview with Playboy a few years ago, and now Playboy, as you know, is the definitive, that's the definitive interview. You have not been interviewed until you've been interviewed by Playboy magazine. That is hands down the definitive, that is the best interview, at least in America. Mm-hmm. That is the best interview in America. The best blah, 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 insert pun. But the deepest, most probing interview you could get is by Playboy magazine, because they ask tough questions. They ask follow-up questions. Springer was interviewed by Playboy, one of the best interviews I've ever read. That guy is smart. He is whip smart. He had this radio show that was just the worst thing ever. I mean, so bad, so terrible. Because he was trying to be all serious. He was trying to be like, I'm talking about the issues. Because he is a really smart guy. And I think he's like a libertarian. He's a big bleeding heart, basically. But he was like, I'm here to speak about the issues in a serious sense and to talk about these social plagues, blah, 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 blah. And trying to be all like NPR about it. But the thing is, that demo, like the NPR audience is never going to listen to him because he's Jerry Springer. And obviously the people who like him for the Springer show are never going to listen to some show that's serious. So that show was just taken out back and euthanized after a while. But I guess you wouldn't leave the Springer TV show. That's a cash cow, I guess. I guess that's a show that you just keep doing forever as long as they keep paying you to do it. God love him. I love the Jerry Springer show. I don't really watch it, but I love it because it sort of is America. That really is the most American of all television programs. God bless him.
He's been in other films, including Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, and Pauly Shore is Dead.
And Ringmaster, which I never saw. I never saw Ringmaster. I meant to, and then I didn't.
We'll see you tonight.
All right.
Should I continue?
I honestly
don't
know.
Should we take a break?
I don't know. I can't even make
a break.
I can't make any decisions at this point. My brain is just turned into
let's regroup.
Shapeless, formless, watery goo. Okay. Hey, we'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program.